Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj on the topic Take Higher Taste of Krishna, recorded on 25th of June 2007 in Atlanta.
Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana bala bhai jwala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om jivanandasya gyananjana shalakya chakshur milita yena tasmai shri gurave maha shri chaitanya manovrittam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamaya Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Saranatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajevam Sarvetam Savadhutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Napadhan Sahajana Dalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shah Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Neena Bandhu Jagarpate Gopesa Gopika Chanda Radha Chanda Namaskute Dapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrinda Madeshwari Rishavanu Suti Devi Kadamami Vrindhi Vanchakalpatarvyascha Vipasindhu Pahevacha Patitanam Pavadevyo Vaishnadevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivachali Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
So we'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday program.
So Prabhupada, when he established the first ISKCON temple in New York in 1965, he also established the Sunday Love Feast. And Prabhupada established this so that devotees who stay outside the temple, who do jobs, businesses, etc., can have an opportunity to cultivate spiritual life in the association of devotees. The purpose of this Krishna conscious movement is to provide a facility by which everyone can be introduced to the process of leading a happy, blissful life. We all want to be happy, isn't it? Is there anyone who doesn't want to be happy? Even the animals are searching for happiness. But thousands of years ago, a great sage by the name of Prahlad Maharaj said, Nate vidum swata gatim hi Vishnu. The people do not know how real happiness can be found. Anyway, those of you who are here in the temple, so those of you who come regularly to ISKCON temples, definitely know that the right path of finding happiness. In every major city in North America, there are many temples. But our experiences around the world, they're generally only those people who come to ISKCON, those who are interested in the science of Bhakti Yoga, those who are interested in some level of pure devotional service. They may not be interested in completely following the path of devotional service, but they have some interest in Krishna, the holy name and the Bhagavad Gita. So there is every reason to believe that all of you sitting here are fortunate because you have interest in the path of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, summarizes the vast Vedic literature, and the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita is the Bhakti Yoga, the medium through which the Lord can be understood. Bhakti Amam Avijanati. Then we have the Srimad Bhagavata that is also described as the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge, and the conclusion of that great literature is also that Bhakti Yoga is the medium through which the Lord can be pleased and understood. Now, what are the obstacles? Why is it that we know Bhakti Yoga as a medium when we don't get attracted to it? For example, there is a very nice book composed by Rupa Goswami called the Sri Upadeshwarmit. Actually, Rupa Goswami is our leader. We Vaishnavas are also known as Rupanugas. We're known as Rupanugas because we follow the path given by the great sage Rupa Goswami. There were six Goswamis: Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Goswami means one who can control the mind and senses. In India, Goswami today has become a cat. So we have many Mr. Goswamis, but some of them may have a cigarette in their hand or a liquor glass also, and we still call themselves Goswami. But the genuine Goswami is one who has control over the mind and senses. So Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful pieces of literature, which Srila Prabhupada, Pandacharya, specifically translated two of them. One of them is known as Sri Upadeshwarmit, and the other as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion. So in this book, Nectar of Instruction, there are only 11 verses. But each of these verses is so important that if you meditate on the meanings, you'll be able to achieve the goal of life. So in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says in text 7, that the holy names of the Lord are sweet like sugar candy. The character of the Lord is sweet like sugar candy. The pastimes of the Lord are sweet like sugar candy. Sugar candy is sweet, isn't it? Everybody loves sweet. Is there anybody who doesn't like sweets? Yes, no?
Yes.
Everyone loves sweets?
Yes.
Yes. That's why millions of people today have diabetes. There are nearly 300 million people suffering from diabetes today. Anyway, we're not against eating sweets, so don't misunderstand. So anyway, so Rupa Goswami says, the holy name of the Lord is sweet. Now, if the holy name is sweet, all auspicious, then why is it that we are not attracted to the holy name? There should be some reason, isn't it? So Rupa Goswami goes on to say, now the holy name is sweet, we are not attracted to the holy name because of a disease. And that is a disease of avidya. Avidya means ignorance. And because of this disease of avidya, we are not attracted to the glory for the holy name. We are not attracted to the sweetness of the holy name. Just like when you had jaundice. Those of you who have read Prabhupada's books may have noted that Prabhupada very often uses an example of somebody suffering from jaundice. So if somebody is suffering from jaundice, then even if you give him sugarcane juice, even if you give him sweet candy, he won't be able to appreciate the sweetness. Why? Because he's diseased. Similarly, you have experience. Sometimes you may have high fever. So even if somebody gives you the most palatably cooked dishes, will you be able to appreciate the taste? No. But then, as the fever comes down, you'll progressively, in the same proportion, be able to appreciate the sweetness of the recipe. The Rupa Goswami says, the holy name of the Lord is sweet, the parts of the Lord are sweet, but because our tongue is diseased, is afflicted avidya, therefore, we cannot appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. Now, in a material situation, they often identify the problem, but they don't identify the cure. Am I right? Just like a doctor may say, you have cancer. So you tell them, we don't have cancer, but what's the cure? Sorry, we have no cure. You may have AIDS. And the doctor may diagnose, okay, you have AIDS, hepatitis. Any cure? Sorry, no cure. So there's so many diseases. Actually, doctors have told me, I mean a lot of doctors in India, in America, Russia, they say that so often patients come, they can't even analyze and figure out the disease. But they just have to pretend as if they know the disease. So anyway, there are many diseases that are identified, but they don't have a medical solution. But in spiritual life, the Lord, the sages, the acharyas, they identify the disease and they also give you a solution. Isn't that wonderful? It's not that they leave us hanging. Okay, you have the disease, okay, go hell. They tell us the disease and they give us the solution. So Rupa Goswami says, because of his tongue is afflicted with avidya, we can't appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. Now, how does avidya manifest its influence? Just saying avidya alone is not enough also. For example, in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna inquired from Krishna, how is one compelled into sinful acts, even unwillingly? Arjuna said, we don't want to commit sinful acts. Still we go ahead and do it. How does it happen? Why does it happen? And the Lord replied, it is lust only, the all-devouring enemy of the living entity, which is always burning like fire and it is never satiated, never satisfied. It's just like when you have a blazing fire and you pour butter in it, does the fire diminish or increase? So Krishna says, Arjuna, it is lust which is our enemy. And is lust our only enemy? No. If lust was our only enemy, things wouldn't be so bad. But we have many companions of lust. We have anger, greed, envy, hatred, isn't it? So all these combined together are called as anarthas in Sanskrit. Anartha means that which is unnecessary. Just like all of you sitting here, I have taken the Krishna consciousness in different degrees. Some of you are initiated, some of you are friends of Krishna, some of you are complete guests, but all of you, as I said earlier, have some level of interest in Krishna consciousness. Now, we need to tell people, what are our regulative principles? No meat prison, no, this. Then what do people say often? How can you live without this? You might as well die. No illicit sex, no meat, no gambling, no this. How can you live? What's the use of living? I've had cases even in India, when people are educated about the rules we follow, they say, what's the use of living? You might as well die. But those of you who practice this have seen that you can easily live with this, isn't it? You can easily follow it. So similarly, the gross materialist in ignorance thinks, I can't live without anarthas. I can't live without lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred, etc. But actually, you can easily live without it if you take to the path of devotional service. Devotional service to the Lord is a cure for these anarthas. Now, Krishna goes on to explain in the third chapter where is this enemy located. Just like these is in America, people are very paranoid about terrorists, especially after 9/11. So let's say there's an Al-Qaeda terrorist in Atlanta. Let's say, okay. So you identify, okay, the terrorist is in the North City. What's the next step? They want to know, where is this big city of Atlanta, isn't it? Where? North, South, East, West, where? So Krishna not only identifies the enemy, but he goes on to say, where is this enemy located? And where is it located? In mind, intelligence, and senses. Mind, intelligence, and senses. These are the sitting places of this enemy known as lust. We have mind. With our mind, we should be focused on achieving a higher goal of life. But instead, we focus on undesirable elements. Senses. We have five knowledge acquiring senses. Ideas, nose, tongue, touch. And sense, and mind, and mind, and intelligence. It's not that people don't have intelligence. Look at your cell phone. I'm sure each one of you has a cell phone, am I right? Even now there's danger of getting brain radiation, so people that don't care, you know, just like cigarettes. people get addicted to cigarettes, they don't care, they're going to get cancer. Yeah. Anyway, so look at the technology that's there in a cell phone. It's unbelievable, isn't it? At one time you had a big phone, then came the small landlines, then the cellular phones came, they also were big in size. Gradually, day by day, they're getting smaller. They're not only getting smaller, they're getting with more functions. Now you can have a tape recorder there, you can have a video camera there, you can have a still camera there, you can even log on to your internet soon. You can have access to your internet facilities, all that. So it takes a lot of intelligence to do all that. You know, who could even dream of this one day, isn't it? So it's not that the materialist doesn't have intelligence, but his intelligence tends to be misplaced. So Krishna says, mind, intelligence, and senses are the sitting place of this enemy known as lust. But then he goes on to say, how this enemy can be destroyed? How? With the weapon of knowledge. So, with knowledge, by reading these books, by hearing the Bhagavad philosophy, by associating with devotees, association is paramount for spiritual advancement. We live in a material world, surrounded by relatives, friends, etc. And if we don't get spiritual association, then spiritual advancement will be almost impossible. That's why Prabhupada created the Sunday program, so that those of you who are busy out in the material world and professional duties can come once a week, associate with devotees, associate with the Lord. How do you associate with the Lord? By seeing the wonderful form of the Lord. By bowing down before the Lord, by singing and dancing for the pleasure of the Lord, just by bowing down, seeing the Lord, and singing and dancing for the Lord, you make spiritual advancement. And many of your sins get wiped away, just by doing this simple activity. Then by hearing the holy name, again we get purified. By hearing the philosophy, it's not necessary that every day there has to be some Sannyasi Maharaj lecturing. Well, whoever's giving you the philosophy, as long as giving you the right philosophy, listen to it attentively. And then having Krishna prasad, foodstuff, offered to the Lord, all these go a long way in nourishing your spiritual life. This nourishment is necessary if you want to survive spiritually. So, associated with devotees is highly recommended. So the point we were getting at is, by this association, by the practice of devotional service, this anarthas can be checked. So Rupa Goswami says that because we are afflicted by the disease of avidya, we cannot appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. But then Rupa Goswami gives us a cure.
What is the cure?
By who knows the cure? Yes, by carefully chanting the holy name, this disease can be cured. Just like you cure your disease by taking a medicine. Thakur Bhaktivinoda gave us many wonderful offerings. But in the Jeev Jago offering, he says, I have brought the medicine for curing the disease of Maya. What is the disease medicine?
The holy name.
In the material world, we're always begging for favors, isn't it? The moment you know your childhood friend has become a big man, you want to go and approach him and ask him for a favor, isn't it? We always expect that, and we're always asking, we ask God, God give me this, God give me this, God give me this. We all wish that God is our order supplier. Of course, that concept of God as the order supplier is superior to the atheistic position where you don't worship God at all. At least you come to God with some motives. And even if you come with some motives, you'll get purified if you keep coming to Krishna. Just like the sun dust can purify even stool water, urine water. So now, how do we get purified? By carefully chanting the holy name for the Lord. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, I have brought the medicine to cure you. So falling at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what should we beg for? A Mercedes car? In India we have a joke for a ticket to America, but since you're already in America, probably a ticket to India. So what should we beg for? In India we joke like this. You know. We should beg for the holy name. We should beg for the holy name. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda further said, doesn't matter whether you are a householder or a brahmachari or a sannyasi, just beg for the holy name, chant the holy name. Now our belief is when the sailing is smooth, we don't have time to chant. Sometimes when we get in distress, if you are fortunate, we turn to the chanting process. But Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, Sukhe Dukhe, whether you are in happiness or distress, please chant the holy name. Because you never know when the life will end. Take for example, you're the United States of America. The whole world is anxious to come here, am I right? And in countries like India, getting green card is one step below going back to God. It goes one step below that. So, we all think, okay, now you've come to America. Do you mean there's no misery over here? Do you mean people are not getting old? People are not getting disease? People are not dying? Mature nature is not retaliating? It's like right now, even in your Georgia, there's a drought, isn't it? You have restrictions on how to water your lawn. You can't even water your lawn every day. California has drought. 50% of America today is in drought. First time in history. And now you see the effects of global warming. Global warming is also called global climatic changes. How the global warming is increasing the temperature around the world. People are saying, oh, we never experienced so much heat. It's hot. A short while ago, some scientists said, we never 30 years, England's weather is going to be as hot as India. So he was a great, misery loves company. We'll have more companies than our heart. But if England's weather is going to be like India in 30 years, India's weather is going to be like Sahara Desert. You know, the heat is increasing everywhere. So it's all relative. So this is all the effects of global warming. And why is global warming taking place? Why are the global climatic changes taking place? The reason is very simple. We have all along defied the laws of God. If we would have adopted the Vedic model of simple living, high thinking, then material nature would also cooperate. But our approach has been more, isn't it? So if you want more, if you have a big appetite, then mature nature is going to strike. And that's exactly what's happening. You see so many automobiles on the road. Each automobile is made to carry 6 people. But if you look at the cars on the road, you'll see the 98% have only 1 passenger in it. So if something is made for 6 or 7 people, and they just travel to 1 passenger. So what we are doing is, we are exploiting the resources given by God. We are misusing the resources given by God, and therefore now material nature is beginning to strike. We have heat increasing, you have drought, you have all the technology in America, you have these satellites that are monitoring and spying on the whole world, you have satellites through which you can even get a navigation for how your car goes, isn't it? So many facilities now produce rain. So Bhagavad Gita gives you a solution. Bhagavad Gita in the 3rd chapter says, food grains come from rainfall. Rainfall comes by performing yajna. And when there's no yajna, then material nature goes on strike. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening in India. That's what's happening around the world. Because people are becoming more and more godless. So this Krishna consciousness movement is actually rendering the highest service to humanity. It is trying to inject God consciousness in society. And if we cultivate God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, then only will man can be happy. So Rupa Goswami says, if we carefully chant the holy names of Krishna every day, then this chanting of the holy name will, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, cleanse the heart, and then you will be able to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. So what this Krishna conscious movement is doing, it's trying to make people realize to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. The holy name is not, it's sweet, but we can't taste the sweetness. How? When we beg you to chant, you chant, not always. Many times I've had experience of telling someone, for 20 years, please chant, please chant. We say, chant, chant, chant. And they say, can, can, can. So that is the reality. You see, people are not too interested in philosophy. If the movie star comes to town, there's a cricket bat, we have all the time on earth. But when it's something spiritual, we don't. Anyway, devotees don't give up. Srila Prabhupada came to America all alone in an old age with just 40 rupees in his pocket. Not even $1 by today's standard. But then, at that time, it was equal to about $8. But he had faith in the words of his spiritual master. He had faith in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he pursued. And slowly, he built this Krishna conscious empire, which has branches in every corner of the globe. And why are people taking to this process? Because this process works. This process satisfies people when this process can be practiced by anyone. So Krishna speaks of Bhagavad Gita to enlighten Arjuna. Now someone may say, if Arjuna is Krishna's eternal companion, why should he need enlightenment? Valid question. Arjuna is Krishna's eternal companion. Why does he need to be enlightened? So the answer is simple. There was no question of Arjuna ever becoming ignorant like us. But Krishna put him in that position so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. For whom? For the benefit of the devotees in Atlanta. Specifically for the devotees in Atlanta. So the Bhagavad Gita has been spoken for our benefit. We should take advantage of it. And if we take advantage of it, human life could be made perfect. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a very sublime process that can be utilized by everyone. You know, sometimes people say, my religion is better than your religion. I was going up the escalator in Pittsburgh
and finally come to there.
Jesus Christ is the way.
Jesus Christ, follow Him.
So I said, sure, we follow Him. He's Son of God. Do you follow Jesus Christ?
He said, yes. I said, do you eat me? He said, yes. He said, thou shalt look him.
So the point is, people don't know what is real religion. Real religion must have four ingredients: austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercifulness. So today there are so many different so-called religious paths. There are so many so-called different Hindu groups, etc. And each of them may be saying, our path is right, our path is genuine. We don't argue. Because the proof is in the pudding. Just like if I show you a bottle of honey and say, this honey is free. For you to experience it, you'll have to taste it, isn't it? Just seeing it is not the answer. And the Bhagavatam says, phalena parichyate, you judge a thing by its results. The real test of religion is the degree to which it invokes love of God in you and the degree to which it makes you give up your attachment to that which is detrimental for spiritual advancement. So, rather than argue, we better understand what is the meaning of real religion. So, as far as the Krishna conscious movement is concerned, our philosophy is very simple. We follow the Bhagavad Gita. Can anyone in the world dispute that Bhagavad Gita is not a bona fide book? No, no one can. You can even go to a Christian or a Muslim, and they'll tell you Bhagavad Gita is the word of God. Then we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This is not some concocted mantra. This is not some recent introduction. Sarvavaracharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the most worshipable object? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So, Parikshit Maharaj similarly inquired, how will people in Kali Yuga be saved? And Shukadeva Goswami said, Kali Yuga is an ocean of vice. Do you agree? You drive your car on the road, you'll see billboards. What these billboards promote? Sense enjoyment. One thing good that I saw in the Middle East countries and in Pakistan, they have several billboards with Allah's message, with God's message. So that's good. But unfortunately, you don't really see this out of the Muslim countries. So we walk in the streets, you see billboards advertising and inviting you for sense enjoyment. You watch TV, what does TV promote? Sense enjoyment. What do radio jingles promote? Same thing. So if you look around, Kali Yuga is nothing but an ocean of vice. But there is one benediction in this age of Kali, and that is chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had predicted 500 years ago that this chanting of the holy name travels to every town and village of the world. So this chanting of the holy name is not something doubtful. It is something genuine. And devotees around the world, since times immemorial, have chanted this mantra to find real happiness. So the path of happiness can be easily attained. This is not something unattainable. We need to make an effort. Unfortunately, today, people want God's kingdom. They don't want God. They want God's kingdom, but no time for God. So, Krishna's message is a real message. So this Krishna conscious movement is a movement aimed to make people happy. Rupa Goswami says, six types of rasas can be established among devotees. Dadati pratikarnati guhyamakati prachati vanakte bhajate chaiva sarvidem piti lakshanam. So this is a very famous verse, text 4 of the Upadeshramil. Sri Rupa Goswami says, we should give in charity, accept charity. We should reveal our mind to those who are more advanced and take instructions. We should offer prasad and the sub-Krishna. So Prabhupada explains that this Krishna consciousness movement has been formed to facilitate the six rasas, just like we give in charity and accept charity. So what do we give in charity? We give in charity knowledge. We give in charity genuine knowledge. We give in request for the chant. We give in charity the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the highest charity. Sometimes in countries like India, people accuse us, oh, you Hare Krishnas are only building temples. What's the use of building so many temples? These temples are spiritual hospitals. They are like oases in the desert. They are meant to save the lives of millions of people. So, we give in charity transcendental knowledge, and in exchange, we accept some donations. Obviously, we need donations also to run a spiritual organization. As those of you who have studied economics may know, four things are necessary for survival in any business: land, labor, capital, organization. So we give in charity knowledge, and in exchange we accept some donations. Then, reveal your mind and take instruction. People come to us asking us, how can I find happiness? How can I make my life successful? And then, we explain the path of devotional service. Then there are devotees in the movement, they may be struggling, so they come to those who are more advanced, spiritual master, guru, and say, please help me remove these doubts. Arjuna came to Krishna with so many doubts, and then the advanced devotee removes the doubts by enlightening the person. So we inquire, and we get instructed. Then Rupa Goswami is saying, eat prasad and serve prasad. Gunakte pojate chaiva. Just like after our program ends, we'll be offering all of you prasad. And it's a privilege to offer you prasad. Sometimes we see around the world, for lecture there may be 200 people, but for prasad there may be 400. So, but we don't mind that. At least you're addicted to Krishna prasad. A few years ago, I was in Azerbaijan, which is a Muslim country, formerly part of the Soviet Union. So there was a journalist who had come to interview me. And the journalist was saying, why are you spreading your dharma in our Muslim country? We don't need you. We have everything. So rather than argue, because he was an important journalist, devotees knew he was coming to interview me, so they had prepared some nice prasad cakes and so on. So rather than argue, we just entertained him to nice prasad. Without eating the prasad, he got so pacified, he stopped criticizing. And he came back the next day for the lecture. So the point is, Krishna prasad captures everyone's heart. And so they'll come to the temple, we offer prasad. And often, we go to devotee home that needs prasad. So, we are here to facilitate these six rasas. People, the gamblers hang around with other gamblers in casinos. The drunkards hang around with other drunkards where? In bars. The sportsmen hang around with other sportsmen in sporting clubs. So, this ISKCON society is there to provide a platform where you all can get together to pursue a spiritual life. We may have material success, but unless we also have spirituality, everything will be a failure. Shrama evahi kevala. So, we humbly want to beg all of you, please take to this Krishna conscious process. This is not a new process. Sometimes in the Western world they say, oh, this is a cult. Just like this guy I met today. He said, you guys are a cult. I said, you know what a cult means? We are not a cult. We follow a bona fide religious process that dates back millions of years. We have the oldest tradition on the planet. We have the oldest book of knowledge on this planet. We have the oldest values on the planet. So we are following a genuine bona fide process which can be followed by anyone. And as Kali Yuga progresses, you can say, the things are getting from bad to worse, isn't it? Are they? There's no one in the material world today who says that things are getting better. More people are committing suicide than ever before, United States, Japan. More people are attempting suicide. More people are mentally depressed. More people have nervous breakdowns today. More people are taking sleeping pills than ever before. The mental state of people. More people in the United States are lonely compared to 10 years ago. So, the condition of the mature world is unbearable. And it's getting tough day by day. So our spiritual master used to say, this mature world is no place for a gentleman. A gentleman is not somebody who wears a fancy watch, a fancy suit, a fancy car, a fancy attaché case. A gentleman is one who wants to investigate what is the purpose of human life. So we especially want to request, I've seen this assembly, the many old initiated devotees present, and I see many new initiated devotees present, and I see many guests. Amongst the guests, some may be chanting one round, two rounds, some may not be chanting any at all. But our request to the guests is, please take the proposal of chanting. This chanting is a greater asset than you can ever possess. This chanting is like a touchstone. Knowingly or unknowingly, anybody who chants the holy name stands to benefit. Those of us who initiated for a long time, our request is, please take advantage of the initiation that you received and chant and follow the remembered principles of Bhakti Yoga. And so the point is, Krishna consciousness can be availed of by everyone. This is not a sectarian concept. This concept requires a change of consciousness. As Prabhupada often explained, it's not that you necessarily have to give up your home, job, business. Stay where you are, chant the holy names, read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam every day, associate with devotees, worship the deity. Lord Chaitanya said, live in a dham. We say, live in Atlanta, no problem. But convert your house to be like a dham. How can you convert the house atmosphere like a dham? By making sure everyone chants, reads, whatever we eat at home, offer to the Lord. Krishna says in the third chapter, you eat without offering to me, you're eating only sin. So, we want you to be happy. We want to become sinless. We want to experience a higher taste. Right now we have a lower taste. We need to cultivate a higher, and that is the taste of Krishna consciousness. And anyone can take this process. So please take to this process. We'll take on a few questions and be happy. This process is free. And since time immemorial, millions have taken to this process and it's readily available.